Good morning, everyone. Thank you for being here. Family says thank you for being at the memorial service of Margaret Redekop. Your presence means a lot here as we're gathered together to honor her and even to mourn her in her passing. Service today is going to consist of an obituary that's presented by Rob Holmes. Four songs. We're going to have two duets, two congregational songs, and then after that, we're going to have her favorite hymn, or her favorite Psalm 23, that's going to be read with a message attached to that. Then we'll have a congregational song and a duet, and we'll end in our prayer. And then after the service, everyone is welcome to gather in the gym for a meal and refreshments, and we'll sing our doxology and pray before the meal. So let us begin with a brief prayer before the obituary is read. Lord, we ask that you bless this service and all who are in attendance for your glory and your name's sake. Amen.
Obituary for Margaret Ann Redekop, Nee Hildebrandt. It is with deep sadness that we announce the passing of Margaret Ann Redekop, Nee Hildebrandt. Margaret will be lovingly remembered by her daughter, Catherine, and son-in-law, Robert Holmes, and their family, Robbie and Sierra. Margaret is predeceased by her husband, David, daughters, Deborah and Kathy, parents, Henry and Katarina Hildebrandt, and two sisters, Margaret and Anita Berthelet. Margaret was born on October 18, 1941, in Noyendorf, Ukraine. Margaret was the middle child and grew up in war times as her family were fleeing to Germany and eventually made Chilliwack, British Columbia their home. Margaret grew up in a Christian home and was baptized at the Eden Mennonite Church in Chilliwack, giving her life totally to Christ. Margaret graduated from the Chilliwack Central High School in 1960 and worked in the raspberry fields with her family. Other jobs she loved were at Canada Post, the Chilliwack Hospital, and local feed mill. In 1966, after seeing a picture of Margaret, David knew that she was the one he wanted to marry. They married November 9, 1968, and Margaret moved to Niverville, Manitoba. Margaret was always timid and shy, but being married to David brought out the sense of adventure and trying new things together. Margaret worked at the Niverville Elementary and High School as a secretary. Living in the town of Niverville first, and then building their home on the farm where they resided for 35 years. Being a stay-at-home mom because her full-time job became her full-time job. She was an avid gardener, tending to numerous flower and vegetable gardens, fruit trees, raspberries, and grapes. She also enjoyed cooking and baking, sewing, crafts, and clothing for her family, and a special talent for needlepoint and petitpoint. David and Margaret traveled extensively and enjoyed numerous trips to Mexico, Florida, South America, and Thailand. Margaret was a caring, a loving and nurturing mother, a dedicated wife, and a loyal and loving daughter to her parents. Margaret always gave of herself to help others and was a very strong, independent, smart, and determined woman. In later years, Margaret was a caregiver to her husband and to both of her parents. Their deaths were very hard on her, but she continued on. While physically being alone, she found her strength in the Lord and never strayed from this relationship. In 2009, she moved to Winnipeg and was very involved with volunteering at the MCC Thrift Store, Victoria General Hospital, knitting children's toques and scarves, and sewing with the Glen Leah Mennonite Church Ladies Group when time allowed. She always loved walking and playing domino games with her family and church friends. Every year, Margaret and Kathy took a mother-daughter trip. Mom was a wonderful travel companion and Kathy's best friend. Adventures they went on included traveling to Hawaii, driving through the USA and Canada, or just sitting and spending time together doing crafts. In September of 21, after encouragement from her son-in-law, Margaret moved to Sherwood Park, Alberta. Margaret cherished her relationship with Kathy and Rob and longed to play games, bake for her family, and have a purpose in life which included serving others. Margaret attended the Meadowlands Baptist Church in Edmonton and thoroughly enjoyed the hymns and Bible-based preaching. In December of 2022, Margaret was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. She never lost hope nor her faith and never asked why me, but rather possessed a patient and simple understanding of God's will and desire for her life. Mom's determination reflects 2 Timothy 4, verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Her favorite verse to reflect on was Psalms 23. Margaret was the perfect mother for Kathy, caring, thoughtful, loving, and always there to help when needed. We will forever miss her, and a hole remains in our hearts where she once filled that space. We were fortunate to have the time to spend together and reflect on the past. Knowing that Mom is in heaven and that we will see her again is the comfort needed to get through this loss. Thank you to those who supported us by your visits, preparing mails, and kind words. Every moment was special and cherished. A special thank you to the Meadowlands Baptist Church pastors and church family for your friendship and caring gestures.
Today I'll walk. Please stand as we sing our congregational songs, What a Day That Will Be.
All is peace forever.
Well, it's a privilege to be able to preach from God's Word that psalm that was such a comfort to Margaret. And it is going to be easy to see why it was so comforting as we go through the psalm itself. It's been said by a famous preacher about this particular psalm, Psalm 23. He said, "It has charmed more griefs to rest than all of the philosophies of the world. It has poured more balm and consolation into the heart of the sick, the captives in dungeons, the widows in their griefs, and the orphans in their loneliness. Dying soldiers have died easier having read this psalm. It will go singing to your children and to my children and to their children until the very last pilgrim is safe." Many might be able to recite even portions of this psalm. It's one of those that we've committed to memory often in childhood. But there's danger in repetition in that we lose track of the words and what they meant. We might lose track. Let us stop ourselves then today. Let's quiet our hearts as we look at this psalm during this occasion, very appropriately, and see that there is spiritual medicine and comfort here. Let's read it. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This is the psalm. It's called David's Heavenly Pastoral. It's famous in all of the world. Everyone knows it often, believer or not. This song has been also called the Nightingale because of its melody to the heart. And you see why. It starts off with "The Lord is my shepherd," revealing the relationship of God's people to their God. God is a shepherd, therefore we are what? His sheep. Sheep in themselves are helpless animals without any natural defense. It is as though they were designed to have a human lead them. They carry no claws, they have no shield or protection. Predators are faster than they are. They have no advantage in the natural world, and likely had there not been a shepherd since the beginning of Abel, they may not have continued on. But domestically, with a caring shepherd, they stand a fighting chance. This is not a new understanding of man and God's relationship, but an old one. Just as the sheep are helpless, they're subjected to the cold, the warmth, the oppression, sickness, and disease, so are we. It is one thing to be subjected to the world and another to have a shepherd that would guide us through it. And so the relationship of God is on display in five words: "The Lord is my shepherd." What are those benefits of having God as our shepherd? The psalm continues on, "I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in the green pastures. He will lead me in the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Here the benefits are laid out of having this God as our shepherd. And every one of those words is in the present tense, which means it wasn't just for David, but for us as well. We will not be in need, for his sheep are going to lie down in green pastures. They'll be able to eat plentifully. Even as the verse tells us, in a state of relaxation where they lie down. And faith in our God is a green pasture all around us. The Lord will preserve his people. They will be provided for and have rest. And then further on, he leads us beside the still waters. He refreshes our souls with the gospel and his word. And he restores our souls. How precious of a promise is this? We shall not be in need when we are broken and our sins have broken us, and we've broken others. And when we feel convicted, he will be gentle in restoring us and calling us to repentance. He restores our whole souls back to a proper health. And we shall not be in need because he has given us a path of righteousness. It's made clear in the Word of God. The Christian then will naturally obey and embrace his word because it is a lamp to their feet. It enables them to see the path better that they ought to follow. The Bible then is a part of our relationship with the Lord because it leads us on the paths of righteousness for his glory's sake. Should I walk away from his word, I have forsaken the path and brought ruin upon myself. But should I walk according to his word, I stay on the path of righteousness. And then down in verse 5, it'll continue. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. There's another benefit. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He prepares us a table in the presence of the enemies. In other words, while enemies wait at my door and they knock, demanding my blood, I'm at peace if the Lord is with me. Others might fear their enemies, but the Christian doesn't need to because God is with us even with this, when the sword is pointed at the neck. My cup runs over, it says, not filled, but is overflowing with blessings that are abundant. The psalmist David has this attitude that all of this blessing that I have is going beyond what I'd expect. Bishop Bernadette in 1689 was a bishop who visited various parishes. And he was traveling to one of the parishes, and he went through a habitation of some, where the poor people lived. And he said, I quote, "I saw a habitation more wretched than anything I had ever seen." But he heard rejoicing inside. So he went over to look inside the home. And there was a lady in her poverty sitting on a stool with a piece of black bread and a glass of water. And she says this, "What? All of this and Jesus Christ too?" A woman who thought to recognize that her life was an abundance of grace should she have Christ. Her cup is overflowing and she noticed it. What a truth to have guarded in our hearts from this psalm, from Margaret's psalm. For those days of physical and spiritual poverty we're going to face. This passage reveals to us that the child of God will also possess two close companions that will be with us all the days of our lives, following behind us. Goodness of God and the mercy of God are with you. The goodness of the Lord will follow after you. What is his motive? He desires to guide you according to the best interest of God's glory. The mercy of God will assist you when you fall in sin, and he will call you back to the first love. Some of you may notice that I skipped over verse 4, but I want to come back to that one with you now. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." This psalm, this particular verse, has been used to comfort endless saints who have fallen asleep in the Lord over the centuries and across all continents. Many earthly pilgrims have left earth and entered into heaven with these words fresh in their ears. These words of comfort direct the mourning person to look up to the Lord. I've had a privilege of being able to recite this psalm to comfort Margaret before I found out that it was her favorite. Yet I think that while I attempted to minister her to her in her weakness, she ministered to me in mine. What some of you may not know is that numerous nurses and doctors thought that she may not have understood the nature of her condition or how serious it was. When she was told the news, she did not respond as they thought she would, as many previously had. She no doubt knew what this news entailed to her about her condition and the cancer. But she didn't sorrow like others did. She sorrowed, but yet with hope. Death is not the house, but a porch. It is not a goal, but it is the destination to the goal. Death was indeed for her, as the psalm says, a shadow of death. A shadow is an empty image. A shadow is a harmless darkness that passes over us and then is no more. She did not fear death. She was ready for it. The lack of fear of death can only be comforted from one thing, knowing that God is, as the psalm says, with me, and his staff and his rod are comforting me. The rod comforts in discipline and correction, while the father's staff guides a crooked life and makes it straight. The question then for us here in application is that God with you? Do you possess that hope? Those who reject the Lord shall have no hope. Apart from God, we face judgment for all the things that we have done. We will stand before him in judgment for our sentencing. But this doesn't have to be so. How do we have access to this relationship with God that the psalm draws out to us? How do we enter into the pastures of green? John 10 tells us how. Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I'm the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come to except for to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I have come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. As the Father knows me, even I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep." The truth is that the door to God, to the shepherd, is through the gate of Christ only. The lush pasture is Christ. The sacrifice needed to get you there is accomplished through Christ. Christ died for sin, and those who believe on him and his sacrifice will receive forgiveness, and righteousness will be accounted to them. Don't hold on to your good deeds. There's no salvation there. There's no salvation in you. It is all in Christ. Those who will call out to the heavenly shepherd through the door of his son, Jesus Christ, shall be called a son of God, a sheep of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. Many people, when facing death, ask this question, why me? Why has God chosen for me to die right now or endure this sickness? But Margaret responded, hopefully, why not me? Why not me? Why not her indeed? She's in Christ. For her to die is gain. She now can relate with Paul, as in the scripture that was addressed earlier, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Why withhold such a heavenly privilege from her? Why keep her chained in a world of pain and suffering longer than God would determine? Why keep her from her Sabbath day? We want the best for her, and the best she has now received, though we will mourn. The mourning is more for us. Blessed be God. Can you say the same thing? Do you possess the faith of the Son of God who alone gives sinners hope from judgment? Do you possess the type of faith that clings to the cross? Do you possess a peace like hers? This is a hopeful power of those who turn from sin and trust in Christ for the forgiveness of sin, and they turn their lives and their wills over to God. The only hope this world has is Christ, and in that hope, Margaret rested. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for providing us with a servant who is a faithful example in gentleness and care and loyalty. Thank you for the gospel that shined in her heart in her final days. Help us to see you as our heavenly shepherd and rest in you as well. Amen.
Please stand and let's sing together, Nearer, My God, to Thee.
Nearer, My God.
As we conclude this service, there is a poem that I want to read to you. I am home in heaven, dear ones, oh, so happy and so bright. There is perfect joy and beauty in this everlasting light. All the pain and grief is over, every restless tossing past. I am now at peace forever, safely home in heaven at last. Did you wonder I so calmly trod the valley of the shade? Oh, but Jesus' love illumined every dark and fearful glade. And he came himself to me in that way so hard to tread. And with Jesus' arm to lean upon, could I have one doubt or dread? Then you must not grieve so sorely, for I love you dearly still. Try to look beyond earth's shadows. Pray to trust our Father's will. There is work still waiting for you, so you must not idly stand. Do it now while life remaineth. You shall rest in Jesus' land. When that work is all completed, he will gently call you home. Oh, the rapture of that meeting. Oh, the joy to see you come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you enter into the private hearts of Redekop and Holmes families and those who are friends of Margaret here this morning. We ask that you provide them all the spiritual relief. Give them reflections upon the hopeful truths of Scripture and the future time of our glorious resurrection. Teach us to number our days and to recognize that as soon as we are born, we begin a pilgrimage to the grave. Teach us to focus our efforts not on money or material things, except for as they advance the kingdom of God on earth, for we will be taking nothing with us. For what shall we profit if we obtain wealth and worldly things and forsake our souls in the process? Help us to prioritize our lives, which we ought to steward for your glory's sake. In the midst of natural sorrow, we thank you for your sustaining grace. In the face of death, we praise you, for you've given your people the promise of everlasting life. And as we think of temporary separation, we rejoice in the hope of an eternal reunion. We thank you for Margaret's life here on earth. Thank you for the steadfastness that she had in you, and the hope that she displayed to those around her in even her darkest moments. We acknowledge that this body is only a tabernacle with which she lived. We recognize that Margaret's spirit is with you now, enjoying your presence and eternal blessing. You have called her home and to an everlasting rest in Christ until the day when her body will be reunited with her soul. We ask that you comfort, that your comfort and your love will sustain each family member in the days and months ahead. And we thank you for that. Because of your Son, we sorrow not as those who do not have hope. We eagerly anticipate the day where you will wipe away all tears from our eyes, and there will be no more death, neither sorrow, crying, or any more pain. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. At this point, I'll be walking with the family. We'll just walk this way, and we'll be heading towards the gym where there's refreshments and food. And all of the preceding people that are on those rows can come in and follow us afterwards. What we want to do is, once we get into the gym, then gather around the table that you wish to sit at. We want to sing a doxology, and we'll pray before that meal, and we'll have our fellowship and our time. So, thank you.